Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray with a big smile on his face, engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. It's the Buckmaster Show. It's already. Have we made it to midweek? Yes. Wednesday, August 2nd, 2017. The station is KVOI AM 1030. And of course, we've got our worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com. And if you miss a program, we've got a pretty darn good archive of 6.5 years worth of shows. Wednesday, first Wednesday of the month, is showdown time. And it's always nice to hear from folks who want to join in on the conversation. Here's the number, 790-2040. The monthly showdown features two gentlemen who rarely agree on anything. To the right of me, Sean McCluskey, early card-carrying member of the Tucson Tea Party, because I think last month I made the mistake of saying that Sean was the founder of the local Tea Party organization. That is not true. It's Trent
Humphreys, yeah. And Robert Meyer were for the beginning, and then Ralph Kayser took over.
Sean's also been active in politics. He ran as a candidate for mayor.
What and year? City council. And 2009 for city council, 2011 for mayor, stopped the half-cent sales tax in 2010, fought the road bond in 12.
In fact, I think that's when I met you in 2009 on the TV show. When you
yes,
were,
sir.
Yeah, first time we met. And to the left of me, avowed liberal David Morales. David is the creator of the Three Sonorans blog site. These guys, I tell you, they have an opinion on everything. They're probably the most two opinionated people I think I've ever met, and that's why I have them on the show. Sean, I know you've been a big supporter of Donald Trump, but sometimes he does stuff that leaves folks kind of scratching their head.
Sometimes it's reported that he does stuff that leaves people scratching their head. If the left media would report the full story and not the snippet, then it'd be better off.
Okay.
Sorry to cut you off.
No problem about going political with Boy Scouts and then the deal with he was speaking to a police officers organization back east. Here's this big effort. We have it here even locally with our chief trying to teach de-escalation. And you have Donald Trump saying, don't be too nice to these people, to these suspects.
Well, you, again, take it with a grain of salt with what he said. But let's bring it here home local. I'm going to avoid the question and go straight to the chief here locally because he stuck his foot in it when he came out and said that he disagreed with what Donald Trump said. But again, he listened to only a snippet of the entire conversation. Just listen to that soundbite, and yes, the man sounds a lunatic. But let's come down and break it down to our local police chief. Our local TPD police chief is, I'm sorry, but I don't know why David supports this guy. I don't know why any minority or anybody in a socioeconomic stress situation supports the current police chief, because he's not doing anything to support anybody in this community, except if you're Hispanic and rich, or if you're white and rich, then he panders to you. But if you're a minority, or if you're socioeconomically challenged and you're living on the south side of Tucson, oh, he's up in your business like nobody else is, because he's got a higher presentation of police officers there. He's all about community policing. He is so full of what you put on Charmin, it's not even funny. So the man speaks out of his backside. He says one thing, he does another. He's beholden to the city council, and he does not support this community.
Are the troops on board with this man?
No. Wow. Are you kidding? Morale in TPD is at an all-time low. If you ask any one of the officers out there, they think that their upper management is doing a horrible job, and they're not servicing the community. David, you're wearing an Obama T-shirt. Another piece of Charmin.
Just for you.
Another piece of Charmin.
What do you think of first of all, what Trump said, and Sean says it was just a snippet, the quote being, don't be too nice.
Well, I think what's most troublesome about that is that the cops actually applauded when he said that. And I mean, I think that is troublesome when cops think, you know, it's okay to, you know, you have, you know, these people, a lot of them are soldiers, you know, maybe PTSD, they come out.
Make excuses.
Still.
Go ahead. Unfounded facts. You want to talk about facts? Let's keep it on facts. Unfounded.
That the cops didn't apply to them? Or?
No, that they have PTSD and they're mostly troops.
No, I'm saying a lot of them
only 10% of us serve, so not all of them.
I'm just saying a lot of them may be former troops, and you know, PTSD is a very real thing, but, you know, there's violence. I mean, I've seen it even at TUSD when 100 police, over 100 police showed up, you know, to show their force. And actually, at that time, the chief, Villaseñor, said that was our purpose. Our purpose was to scare you guys so that, you know, nothing would happen. you know, they showed up in riot gear and stuff. But I think...
Hold on a second. When your mom walks in and you're a 13-year-old kid and she yells at you and she was holding that wooden spoon, same show of force. It worked when you were 13. It should work when you're an adult.
I don't think it worked. You can't just say it worked.
You want to bet?
Yeah.
Come to Chicago. Meet my mother. I'm afraid
have a lot of anecdotal evidence, but I mean, overall, so I think...
But again, your point, David, you said they were, the police were applauding, and this, it's the timing of the matter.
And it is, it's that, and also, I mean, it came at the same time just about that our police chief, which is weird, because now I'm supporting the police and you're going against them, which is the exact opposite.
No, that's not true. I don't support the police chief. I support every officer out there except for the chief.
Well, I think what is really good,
let's be perfectly clear.
I think a lot of
that.
People use code words when they talk about our police chief. You know, they refer to him as our San Francisco police chief. And I, you know, that's a lot of code words that was and also in the Mexican American Studies trial that was in federal court. But, you know, about a year or two ago, we've been talking about police violence for a long time. I remember one time we were talking about, you know, Trayvon. We've talked about Tamir Rice, I mean, just over the years. And I said one of the solutions is de-escalation techniques. Mm-hmm. You know, cops shouldn't just have their guns out because, I mean, the impulse is just you're going to shoot. Like, there's other things to do. And here we have our local police chief actually employing de-escalation training. And, I mean, I think that's good. That's the solution to the problem.
The problem with that is you have a city council who does not fully fund nor support the TPD, the Tucson police officers. If they did, they would use your words. They would use de-escalation techniques. They would use non-lethal means of force. So they would either go to beanbag guns, which they did not do, or they would go to tasers, which they have not done. They went to body cameras and they went to other things to spend money, which has cost them more money in the long run.
They don't do tasers?
They do. Not every officer has a taser.
Okay.
Very few of them have tasers. Mostly it's your supervisors.
Okay.
So they have to go through special training for that as well. What they did do is they ramped up their mental health and wellness, which I applaud them for. But that wasn't because of the chief. That was because of a sub-chief. And it was because of the guys that are out there, guys like Jason Winsky, who are on that force, who actually say, hey, chief, this is what we need. And that it took them like 6 months to beating on the guy to finally get him to break down and say, hey, it's not such a bad idea. So it's not the chief. The chief is, as you called him, your San Francisco police chief. That's something that you've called him. I have never referred to him as that.
To the morning show, you know.
I have never referred to him as that, nor will I ever. I don't think he's right for the job. I think we should have took the guy out of Dallas. But that's just my opinion.
He withdraw, though, Sean?
At the very end, after he knew he wasn't getting the job, after one of the city council members said, yeah, you're not going to get it. Again, it goes back to your city council. It goes back to your elected leadership. I mean, you want to talk about Mexican American studies? You had this big song and dance. You had this whole.
You're talking about the 2-week trial.
You had the circus, exactly. You had the media circus down
there. You said the circus had come to town.
Exactly. They did come to town. Every idiot showed up except an elected politician. Not one elected politician showed up to show you support.
Power
Not
to the people.
Not one
right?
of them.
Power to the people. I mean, now, you showed up. If we're in federal court. All that matters is what a federal court, federal judge says.
Ooh, that's not true.
That's all that matters.
We're going to switch gears to a pile after the break, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, we are. But I also want to talk about the trial. So
yeah,
decision is imminent.
I guess while we're on the topic, I mean, I've been writing about it. I'm releasing transcripts slowly. But I did do the last day of closing arguments because that's kind of in a nutshell. And, you know, I won't go through the whole case. You can go to threesonorans.com if you want to read more about it. But the judge basically said since this has been going on since 2010, he's going to try to issue a really prompt ruling within a few weeks. So a few weeks to me suggests more than three, but hopefully close to three, which would be nice because if we win this case, it's an election year next year. Adelita and Hicks are their seats are open. So it'll be the issue in TUSD.
And what could the ruling say? Or
that in this case, what they ruled was that the law, that as it was written, is parts of the law are constitutional, but its application involved racial animus, which means it was applied in a very racist way, targeted on Mexican American studies only in Tucson, never applied to any other ethnic studies across the whole state. And of course, you know, the Stop La Raza. The
so racism is at the core of this.
Yeah, reverse racism, because it's Mexican American studies. There's no Irish American studies. It's singular as to what race you specify and what you single out. It's the only program in the entire state, and the reason why they only went after Tucson because it's the only one that existed. Shocking.
That's not true.
Yes, it is. Where's it at? What other school district K-12 has it? None.
We had Cali Olin. We had Teocali. I'm naming some here. You can't just say
that's a school district.
The schools.
School district. I want a school district other than TUSD. None. That's your answer.
Joe has been waiting, and now back to our original topics, police and the city council. We're going to be talking about a bunch of things here on the show today. So, Joe, go ahead.
Hey, guys. It's Joe.
What's on your mind?
It is, so I'm not going to say anything else. Hey, about the police and the city council. City council has neglected police and fire departments to the point of they have to have a change. Because the bottom line, look how bad our fire department is now. I mean, some of those rigs are falling apart. I have buddies that work in the maintenance department. When a fire truck goes to the scene and they can't pump water and they have to get another truck out there, that's sad.
Hmm. That's on your same fire thing, chief.
Hmm. Well, same thing with TPD police cars. A couple of weeks ago, I went on a ride along on the east side. I swear.
You're lucky it didn't break down.
Let's put it this way. After being 23 years in L.A. as a cop, it was disgusting to see that patrol car when it went up over 45 miles an hour. It started shaking.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
I think one of the solutions here is instead of focusing on an enforcement of criminals, what the best thing to do would be to prevent criminals activity by investing in education, which this state, instead of investing in education, it cuts education constantly and yet builds more and more private prisons, which corporations make profits off our tax dollars. And that's the thing. Mexican American Studies had a 97% graduation rate. It was successful by every way you can look at it. And yet what did people do? They had to ban it because Chicanos are getting educated for once and graduating.
That's an ignorant statement. We don't care I don't care who gets educated. I hope everybody gets.
You don't
educated.
Care, but a lot of people.
A
lot of people don't want the truth of American history to be taught, especially when it comes to racial issues. Right? I mean, we've talked about the slaves, the founding fathers, but you can never talk about the slave owners. And in fact, all that really matters is what John Hoopenthal said. And John Hoopenthal said,
"Man's an idiot."
John Hoopenthal, he was the
him
one
and that, Horn together. Those are the two idiots I was talking about that came to town when you brought the circus.
They're the ones that you guys elected along with Sheriff Arpaio.
Oh, we'll get to Arpaio. I'm dying.
Why don't
for
we
this
take
one.
The break right here? Then we'll talk about Sheriff Joe. It's the Showdown 790-2040. Sean and David going at it on a Wednesday, August 2nd. We'll be right back. The program Buckmaster AM 1030 KVOI. Back right after this. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday at noon, a newsmaker interview with Tucson City Councilwoman Regina Romero. Also, comet discoverer Dr. David Levy with everything you need to know about the total eclipse of the sun coming up in a few weeks here in western United States. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Welcome back. It is the Showdown. David Morales to the left of me, Sean McCluskey to the right. We do this the first Wednesday of the month. Always a lot of fun. By the way, one of our listeners, David, wondered, please ask Mr. Morales, has he had any police training? Have you ever studied to be a police officer?
I have never studied to be a police officer, but I think one of the related issues here, we could talk about schools and how they're underfunded. And it doesn't matter if you've trained to be a teacher or not. I mean, you can still make the argument that schools are underfunded, as it was with police issues.
So you feel you are qualified to talk about police issues?
Well, I think, you know, you can just read research and you can just study how de-escalation is, you know, beating. I mean, so all these, like, in these cases where we have, you know, wrongful death, usually it's a white police officer killing an unarmed black person. Even if the judge, even if the police officer gets to stay on the force, there's usually like a $3 million, you know, lawsuit that is lost by the police department. So, you know, you're losing lots of money. Same thing with our pile. I think it's like over $40 million in you know, wrongful arrests and
the court case,
all this stuff. I mean, so, you know, you rack up taxpayer dollars, you know, paying for wrongful abuse.
Were you a big supporter of Sheriff Joe, Sean McCluskey?
No, I wasn't. I mean, I like what he stood for. I liked his pink prison garb. I liked his what he was doing in when he was doing the raids and they were doing them legally. But I had a problem with him when he wanted to endorse me in Pima County, because Pima County, he is not very well liked. And so, therefore, I shied away from him.
During the mayoral run?
During all of them.
Oh.
I just knew that if I wanted to lose the city council election worse than I did, all I had to do is get endorsed by Joe Arpaio. That was simple. He's hated down here. It's not real difficult, especially when you got, what's your girl's name? The Hispanic, what was her name? The Hispanic public defender who did him in effigy.
No, I don't know.
You know exactly
who I'm talking
about. Yeah, thank you. Isabel Garcia. Yeah, you want to talk about reverse racism? Right there. That lady hates that man for no other reason. Never had interaction with him whatsoever,
so
she can't stand him.
So the verdict that came down, disappointed with that?
No, not at all, because a jury of his peers did not find him guilty of any wrongdoing, but a independent who is a left-leaning, donating, liberal judge did find him, not the jury. So take that to the bank and for whatever it's worth, go with that.
You're saying the Republican appointed Murray Snow?
Watch his wife's donations. Where does she donate?
And so he was, first of all, appointed by, I think, Reagan. And then Sheriff Arpaio actually had his wife tailed by the police. And, you know, this first came out in 2011, and Sheriff Arpaio was still reelected in 2012. And
16.
No,
I'm sorry. He lost in 16. Excuse me.
And the thing is, you know, he would go on these immigration raids and, you know, he would capture like three people at the car wash or something like that. Meanwhile, he had all these like child abuse cases that were being ignored, you know, and lots of money that
I would go to Brewer and DES.
No.
And Child Services. Because
there was like calls to the police. And So there was this huge neglect because what he did was he focused on this whole tent city, the toughest sheriff in the country, the pink
underwear
and the green baloney. What it is, it's just like feeds into this fantasy that people have, you know, of like this
tough
this,
guy.
Yeah, and it's like a comic show. It's that's the circus that's come to town. And in fact, now he's, you know, he might be wearing pink underwear.
He'll appeal,
but you know, the point is, this is. You know, first of all, he was, Donald Trump really looked for his endorsement. And so people on social media, all kinds of, you know, people are defending him. They're saying, we like what he did. What he did was racist. He was found guilty of racial profiling. And this is what we talked a lot about. There's, you know, I'm not anti-police. I just don't like when police are racial profiling.
Technically, what he did, he racially profiled people who were here illegally, whether they were white, brown, yellow, purple. It doesn't matter. He went after a color. Is that what you're saying? Because it's true.
What I'm saying is Hispanic people were more likely to be pulled over.
He didn't go over only Hispanic people. He went after Orientals. He went after Hispanic. He went after any racial, ethnic group that was not here legally.
That's not what... How do you know someone's not here legally? How do you look at someone and say, oh, that person is... I mean, how do I look different than a Mexican from Mexico? I mean, we're the same... I have a family in Mexico. I mean, so to look at... Like, it's a... You don't look at someone and say, oh, you know, that's a fine Mexican because he's an American citizen. On this person is undocumented. When we look exactly the same, so what happens is the hatred that people have toward immigrants transfers over to people that look like me who look like immigrants.
Okay. Now, I'm glad you brought this up because I do property management, and I have a Hispanic owner who will not rent to another Hispanic because he is a cholo or something, whatever the word he used. And I was like, could you please explain this and break this down to me? And he gave it to me like this. He said that because he is a Mexican-American citizen who was born here and his parents came over legally in the right way, he will not rent to an illegal, nor will he rent to somebody who is the child of an illegal. So please explain that, because that's brown-on-brown racism or brown-on-brown hate, whatever way you want to call it. It's Hispanic-on-Hispanic in my book, because you both look like you just said. You both came out of Mexico at one point, and I can't tell who's legal and who's not legal by just looking at you. So you please explain that to me, how that in your own community people hate each other.
Well, first of all, I mean, you always like to refer to anecdotal evidence as if that is what everything is about.
This is what happens in real life.
It happens sometimes, but overall there's this huge...
Sometimes, you know, no, I'm living this. It happens.
So, I mean, and first
so
of all...
So explain it, please. How?
This is a real person.
Yeah.
I have to explain
on the
one
south side.
Okay. That's not what this is about. This is about...
But if it was just one, I would agree with you. But this is a majority of my Hispanic clientele that live here. They don't want to rent to illegals, and they're Hispanic. So it's Hispanic on Hispanic hate. It's nothing to do with the white guy. I'm over here going, I just want to do my job.
You're just calling them illegals. That's the first
problem. I'm calling it out.
And Orientals also. But
same way.
Oh, well, for Asians.
Yes. Oriental, Asian, take your pick. I mean, I don't know where they're from.
All right. So let's go back to this. You know, we said reverse racism a few times. And if you think about it, you know, white people, which has been interesting.
That's
because,
racist.
No. Well, this is what's interesting, because you guys always refer to like Hispanic, my community, Hispanic judge, Hispanic. But as soon as I remember one time on the morning show, Dan Gibson got mad because I once referred to him as the white editor of the Tucson Weekly. And I'm just like, are you guys afraid of ever being called what your race is? So, you know, white people, just like Hispanic people, black people, but white people, when you refer to like affirmative action and stuff, you guys in your own words say reverse racism, right? The implication there, just logically, is that racism is supposed to go only from white people to minorities.
Racism is not supposed to go either way, but when you project it upon me, that's when it's wrong. When I project it upon you, that's when it's wrong.
Why isn't it just racism? Why do you refer to it as reverse racism?
Because originally racism started out white versus black. It was as simple as that. And then it was white versus everybody. And that's where it's at today. It's white versus everybody, everybody versus white, because you guys keep pumping it up. The boy on your shirt right there, Obama, that's your boy.
He keeps pumping it up.
He did more to divide this country than any other president that we've ever had.
Yeah, because white people still have racism in them. Now, let me ask you something.
If he had a son, he'd have a son like Trayvon Martin, who was a thug.
So when we were getting ready to go on this show for this month, you said that you're getting tired of not being a brown person is a crime in this country. So what do you mean by, like, are people really going after you? Are the cops going after you because you're not brown?
No, it's because everybody else. It's not the. It's everybody else in society wants. You look on your Facebook. Look at all your friends. Look at how much hate's in that group. Just because I'm white, every one of them rip off. Oh, you're white. You're white privilege. You're white privilege. You know what?
White privilege
Please
is different than you
Please explain to
white.
Me where my white privilege came in. I grew up in an affluent community in Burrage, Illinois, and I had to work my tail off for everything that I had. The only thing that I had that was better than you did is that my parents may have known somebody who might have been connected somewhere.
That's white
and
privilege.
And it's who you know, where you know, and
That's
how you know.
That's white privilege.
No.
Right there.
Because
it is.
Then you go to the ghetto, and you could take the kid, my buddy Al Gonzalez, out of the South Side, who is a doctor
evidence.
In D.C. right
yes,
now,
you have
because he
evidence.
Struggled and busted his butt to get out
and,
of the ghetto.
And I also, you know, grew up in the farms in Marana, and I went to and, school, graduate
okay.
school.
On the government dole.
I did.
All right. John, quickly, out of time, but I want to take your call. Please, go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. My question is, if it's racist to talk about Mexicans, of what race are Mexicans? I get down there once or twice a month in my travels, and I can't figure out, looking at Vicente Fox or Ernesto Gordillo or any of the past or current presidents, what race are Mexicans?
Under the census, Mexicans are officially white people. That's a fact.
Really? Like I said, the only thing difference between an Irish and a Hispanic is the fact that y'all got a better tan. Other than that, We have men, women are our matriarchs. We like to drink. We like to fight. We like to get verbal. And we're all mostly Catholic. That's the summation of it all.
And you have an oppressive capitalist state next door that exploits your people.
And the Irish fought for the Mexicans.
Exactly.
The
Mexican it's all connected.
So, anyway, gentlemen, thank you so much. Always a pleasure. The showdown will resume again the first Wednesday in September. David, thank you very much.
Thanks for having
Sean,
me.
Sean, good to see you. Thank you, sir.
Always thank you, sir.
All right. We will be back right after the mid-show break on Buckmaster. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes a great getaway for a weekend or stay longer. Why not? 3-hour drive from Tucson. About 15 degrees in that area, cooler than the Tucson area, and it's very beautiful and green. Not that it isn't here in southern Arizona. We've had a lot of rain, but so have they in the Gila National Wilderness Area, so it's a great time to visit Southwest New Mexico. Just go to southwestnewmexico.org. That's their fine website. Everything you need to know about planning your weekend getaway, the complete list of the great places to stay, and several dozen recreation opportunities in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. David Safir joins us now. David writes in the column, he writes about education primarily in his column that appears on the internet at TucsonWeekly.com in their section that they call The Range, which is a pretty good description for that column because and what's covered in The Range, because it's pretty much A to Z, isn't it, David?
Well, it ranges all over the place, I'll tell you. And by the way, for people who don't go there, if you're interested in rock and roll and you're interested in traveling groups, there's been this incredible diary of this one band that's traveling in Europe by someone who's there, and there are pictures, and what they do is really quite a feature. I like to read it, even though that's not my area that I'm especially interested in, because really it's a firsthand feel, like a documentary, at what happens on the road with a band in Europe. It's great stuff.
David, you just heard the showdown, and we did bring up David Morales covered that for his website, Three Sonorans, his blog, about the, he was there, I think, every day during the 2-week trial. Can you kind of articulate, and then we'll move on to a couple of other things, but could you articulate what the possible outcomes could be from this judge decision? It's not a jury trial.
Right.
It's just a judge.
Well, the first simplest thing would be, he says, everything that the Mexican American Studies people are trying to go after, I don't accept that, and therefore it all stands as it is. That's what he could do, and that would go totally against the people who are defending Mexican American Studies. But there are four ways that it can go for the people who are defending Mexican American Studies over two issues. And this is kind of complicated, but it's fairly simple. The question is, does the law and the way Hoopenthal enforced it discriminate against Mexican Americans? And does it violate their free speech rights? Both of those, that's what's being argued by the defense. Now, if the law does either of those, if the law is either discriminatory or it violates their First Amendment rights, the law's gone. If the judge says that, unless there's an appeal, that wipes out the law because the law is now unconstitutional. If the law's okay, but John Hoopenthal, who enforced the law on TUSD and said you can't have Mexican-American studies unless you're willing to lose $17 million a year, if he did that improperly, then the judgment against TUSD is gone, but the law still stands. So either of those, one of four different ways, would be a victory for the defense of Mexican American Studies. And if they get more than one, especially if they get one against the state law, it's going to be time to pop the champagne corks. And they'll be very excited about what they accomplished.
790-2040 is our live line number. If you'd like to join in the conversation, we're going to now talk about a little bit about the AZ merit scores. That's those scores have been very controversial. What do you make of them, and how do they affect our local school districts?
Well, I have looked at two articles on this, and I've tried to look at the scores, though I haven't gotten a complete listing. There's one in the Arizona Republic that talks about the whole state, and the whole state is doing more or less as it's done before, and apparently the scores are a little bit better. Here in Tucson, in the Star, and by the way, I want to kind of have a shout out to the new education guy there, Hank Stevenson.
Good guy. Real good guy.
Mm-hmm. Very smart. Good mm-hmm. investigator. He and I had a chance to sit down last week and talk, which was a lot of fun. And what he needs to do is become more acclimated to the educational environment. But the man's got the journalistic chops, so we'll see what happens.
And he comes from the Arizona, or from the Capital Times.
He was there, and he was at the Weekly for a while.
Was he really?
Yeah, I didn't realize that. Yeah, I met him when he was down here. But we'll see what happens. The fact that I think he's a good guy and good reporter doesn't mean I will refrain from criticizing stuff he does,
of course not.
But that's the way it goes. So the thing that I think is most important here is if you read his articles, the article he wrote on this, the headline is TUSD students far behind state average on AZ merit, the unofficial results show. And the other thing is that students simply aren't passing the test in high numbers. And all that sounds like our education is absolutely terrible and our students are doing awful and that TUSD students are doing even worse. And none of that is justified by the scores. If it's true, it may be true, but it's not justified by the scores. And what I like to do is hop back into me being a teacher here, giving kids a test.
Okay.
So I give my students a 100-question multiple choice test, and they take my multiple choice test, and they do just great on the test. And I say, wow, they did better on the test than I think what they actually knew. I think I made that test a little bit too easy.
Mm-hmm.
So next year, I decide I'm going to make this test a little bit rougher, and I do. And lo and behold, they don't score as well. Is next year's group of kids stupider than the ones I had before?
I don't think so.
No, they're not. They're just had a tougher test.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get to decide where the A range is and the B range is and the C range is just by drawing lines across the scores.
So suddenly, the first year they took the test, say they go 85% to 90, did well.
Yeah.
And then the next year you say, you know, I've made this too easy. So now suddenly you're in like 70 to 75%.
Right.
Does that indicate then that these kids have a problem?
No, it doesn't. It indicates that I gave a tougher test. So let me give you one more piece and then we'll go back to AZ merit. The other piece is I have two different classes and one class is full of high achievers and the other is full of lower achievers. Well, my high achievers are going to do better on both tests than my low achievers will. By definition, right? That's the way it's going to go across the board no matter what test I give. Okay, so let's go back to the standardized test. We used to give a test called AIMS, and the kids in this state did pretty good on the AIMS test. And people said, that's not a fair evaluation of what they're doing. Their scores are too high. Let's give them a tougher test. So they went to the AZ merit test. That's the new test now. And lo and behold, scores just tanked.
Mm.
And people said, oh my God, look at how low the scores are. Only a third of the kids are passing and this and that and the other thing. Well, if you have a harder test and you score it in a way that the passing score is harder to get, the scores are going to go down. So that absolutely doesn't mean that one crop of students are better or worse academically than the other. They're just being tested on a different scale. Now, here's the deal about TUSD. TUSD is a fairly low-income, majority-minority district. Majority-minority means the majority of the district are non-Anglo, mainly Hispanic, some African-American, but mainly, you know, mainly Hispanic. And those students, low-income and minority students, all over the state, all over the country, they're going to score generally lower than higher-income students. So if you look at the Catalina Foothills scores, if you look at the Vail scores, both that have very, very high income, high achieving kids, because income and achievement just go together incredibly closely all over the world, not just all over the country. If you look at that, Vail and Catalina Foothills are going to score higher than TUSD. So if you compare the state to TUSD, the state scores higher all the way down the line. As a matter of fact, I looked at it, and the state scores something between 8 points and 12 points higher at every grade level, the average of the state versus the average of TUSD. Now, I haven't done it yet, but I imagine that if I pulled out the Anglo students and then pulled out the students who were on free lunch and the students who weren't on free lunch, I'd find that there was not a dime of difference between what TUSD kids do with equivalent kids elsewhere. Likewise, if I pulled out the Hispanic students, especially those on free lunch, I'd find that they did more or less what Hispanics do elsewhere. So TUSD, no, is not doing horribly because the scores are lower than the state. That's simply not true. Now, everybody got better scores in most grades in the state, and TUSD did too. When the state rose about 5 points, TUSD rose about 5 points. In one case, the state rose 7 points, TUSD rose 10 points. In another case, the state rose 8 points, TUSD rose 5 points, back and forth.
So you're saying don't hit the panic button about this.
Not only don't hit the panic button, but read every single standardized test score you see with a big grain of salt, a whole salt shaker full of salt, because they simply don't say, when you look at them and understand them carefully, what they seem to say. If you say, oh my God, these people are scoring so much better than we are, Japan does better than we do, Finland does better than we do, if you look at it as an aggregate, you go crazy. And then if you start breaking it down, you say, well, you know, Massachusetts is scoring almost as well as Finland and Japan. Well, that's in the U.S., I think. And so anyway, I just want to say to the audience, as you, Bill, that this stuff is extremely complicated, and people try to dumb this down and make it seem very simple and look at the scores to, as you said, hit the panic button. And there are things to worry about and things to be concerned about, but the scores really don't show it very well. And I'll tell you one more thing, and that is, some people say, and I agree with them, that you almost don't have to give the scores to know how students are going to achieve. Just put in their zip code. Okay. And that happens to be true.
Wow. David Safir, 790-2040. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'll take our break right here and be back with you in a couple of minutes on Buckmaster.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Green Things. This is a perfect time with everything so green to get your green things for your fall planting. I know I'm looking ahead to the fall and putting in some new geraniums and a couple of new rose plants, and I know exactly where to go. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk. It's Green Things just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. You can also, and I encourage you to do so, check out their website, greenthingsaz.com. They've got some great free workshops that are coming up that specialize in really helping gardeners get it together and improve their gardening skills. Well, we're not going to talk about gardening. We're talking about education right now with David Safir, and I think I've asked David before whether he has a green thumb, so maybe we won't go there
again. Not especially. No, I have a xeriscape garden where they love the rain, but when it doesn't rain, they live without me. I love the way it looks, but I don't want to tend it.
That's David Safir, who writes at the section of the TucsonWeekly.com known as The Range. And David primarily writes about education. David, Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced really today that he's going to address affirmative action administration policies that he says might be discriminating against white applicants, white young people who apply to college.
I find this very scary. I looked at it and I watched a little bit about it on TV and I read the New York Times article. Just as a background, there are many things about the Trump administration that freak me out completely because it's such a chaotic mess and so dangerous in some ways. But this is a kind of thing that flies under the radar often because this is something that any administration can do, whether it's Trump or Democrat or Republican. Jeff Sessions now, as Attorney General, has decided that he wants to make sure that people don't discriminate against whites. Mm-hmm. Now, this drives me nuts. The civil rights laws, which were set up back in the 50s and the 60s, these were to take care of some of the rampant, horrible, virulent, disgusting discrimination that happened towards minorities. But lately, over the last 10, 15, 20 years, there's been this movement amongst conservatives saying that the truly oppressed people, the people who are being discriminated against, are whites. And somehow minorities are trampling over their privilege. And they say, if you're black, you just get a job, or if you're Hispanic, or you just get into college and it's easy, and we have to struggle. Nothing could be further from the truth. And what they're doing now is they're taking the arm of the civil rights part of the Justice Department, and instead of looking at genuine problems that we still have in terms of housing and in terms of policing and in terms of education and in terms of any number of things, he says, let's make sure that no white in any way gets trampled on. And I see we have a
yeah, we
call.
Do. Let's go to.
But before we do, I want to read one thing because I think this is going to bother a bunch of people, but I think it's absolutely true. David Morales likes to talk about it. I agree with the two that there's such a thing as white privilege, that you're so used to things going your way, and I'm white and I have that same privilege, that you just expect it. And when that doesn't happen, it feels just awful. And there's this wonderful statement. I'm going to read it twice because I think it's so good. It says, when you're accustomed to privilege, equality feels like oppression. I'm going to say that again. When you're accustomed to privilege, equality feels like oppression. So if other people are getting their rights and you don't get to the head of the line every time and get to push other people back to the back of the line or the back of the bus, and you can't do that anymore, you say, hey, I used to be able to do that. Why can't I do that now? I'm being discriminated against.
Okay. All right. And to the live line we go. Carl has joined us in the conversation. Hi, Carl.
Hi. Quick question for you here. You take a look at a well-educated African-American individual. Their children can apply for colleges and schools, and they will get scholarships, additional help, and so forth, even if they don't need it, based on their race. Whereas you take somebody who's the child of some poor coal miner who's a Caucasian from West Virginia, and they're not going to have access to those same types of things, even though I would argue that they probably need it more than the children of a wealthy black individual. So how do you address something like that?
It's an interesting question. One thing you did is you created an odd situation where you pulled a black individual who's at the top of the income ladder, which is the exception rather than the rule, and then you pulled a poor white coal miner who is, it's not exceptional for whites to be low income, but you're forgetting about the disparity elsewhere. That, to be honest, is one of those wrinkles that feels rather wrong, and it seems like a well-off black family should not get better access to education than someone else. I would like it to be people who are being brought up from lower income levels. So if you just look at that, that's going to be one of those anomalies and one of those problems that really should be worked out. But they're the problems, I believe, that happen with absolutely any program. And in this case, the idea that we have spent the entire history of this country until the 50s and 60s discriminated virulently against African-Americans and for lesser time, but in same ways against Hispanics, this is something that has to be redressed. There's nothing that is inherently unequal about these people to whites. When you say all men are created equal, you mean that they have equal possibilities, but in this country they haven't had equal opportunities. And I believe that we're duty bound, morally bound, sociologically bound to try to redress some of the phenomenal inequalities that we have caused and that whites have benefited from to the detriment of others.
All right. So you think certainly that A.G. Sessions could spend his time on some other things that might be a little higher priority.
Yes, right? Many of them. I, to be honest, the kind of person he is, I hope he doesn't spend his time on too much, because I think in every case he's going to be doing things that just set my teeth on edge. But this is one, as an educator, that I see that just makes me crazy. It's just such a perversion of what the laws are supposed to be like. Even though it's legal what he wants to do, it turns the whole civil rights concept on its head.
Quickly, I do want to bring in a third topic, if you don't mind. The Tucson school districts are finding that teachers, really these non-certified teachers, are not flocking to their districts to teach in their schools.
Well, it seems like that's true. I saw the article, and I haven't researched it myself, but it said that Vail is using the, not non-certified, but using ones with lower education, no training, who are given certification. They're doing it. Sounds like the other districts aren't. And the article itself simply stated that, but didn't give any whys and wherefores, or didn't give much in the way of whys and wherefores. And
didn't it's too early to see. You wrote about this about a week ago, right?
I did, and I think it's a terrible idea. I called the new
certified standards.
Right, the new those
lowering
new standards.
Those standards.
I called it the uncertificate. Because I think what it is a certificate for nothing. And I think, unfortunately, it dumbs down the idea of what a teacher can be to the point where somebody might say, why should I go through all those education classes and that training and student teaching when I can get the same certificate, the same first-year teacher, the same salary without going through all of that, I'm afraid that it's going to deprofessionalize a profession that I hold dear because it was my profession for 30 plus years.
So you're saying go to the head of the line.
In a sense, these people are going to the head of the line or being equal with the others. Yeah. And it's okay if people come in emergency situations, which they could do before, but the idea of giving them a certificate for life, never taking education classes, never having their knowledge of the subject matter assessed, this is just simply wrong, and it's moving us, in like so many things in Arizona, in the wrong direction educationally.
All right, David Safir, he writes at The Range, which covers pretty much everything that it implies, a wide range of topics at TucsonWeekly.com. David, we'll look forward to your work. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, coming up this afternoon, Mike Chack with Mike Shaw, Ray Allen helping out, ably assisting Mr. Shaw as they put together an hour this afternoon from 4 to 5. We do Wake Up Tucson here from 6 to 9, and then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you tomorrow. Our featured interview, Tucson City Councilwoman Regina Romero will be joining us, and David Levy, the world-famous comet discoverer who's getting all excited about his viewing of a total solar eclipse, which is now just a couple of weeks away. I wish we were in the path of totality, but we're not. We have to travel a little bit to actually see it, and David Levy will tell us about it. That's tomorrow. On behalf of Ray Allen, my fine engineer producer, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.